This segment is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Visit them on the web at sectorspiders.com or call 866-SECTOR-ETF.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
All right, coming up on today's show, I do a portfolio report card for BB in Naples, Florida. This is a $1.23 million portfolio. Does it pass or does it fail? You're going to find out on today's show. Also, going to talk about three rules for using leveraged ETFs. Now, remember, leverage, all we're talking about are funds that attempt to magnify their performance of the underlying indexes. So, three rules for using leveraged ETFs. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, or investment strategy, 844-305-7800. That's the number. Give us your first name along with your city, along with, again, those ticker symbols, and we will get to you. You can also tweet the program live. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. And again, the phone number, 844-305-7800. So, I recently did a video titled Three Rules for Using Leveraged ETFs. And leveraged funds often take, at least in the media, are often demonized because of the fact that the performance returns are very extreme. The daily volatility is also extreme. And so there's a lot of criticisms about leveraged ETFs by not just the media, but even with people within the financial services industry. And I think the reason for this is, number one, these folks don't understand the products. Number two, they don't understand how and where leverage belongs if you're going to use it inside an investment portfolio. And finally, they just have an anti-leveraged ETF bias. So when you add all of that up, it really leads to a lot of criticism. Some of it, well, actually most of it, completely unwarranted. And I think that is the case with leveraged ETFs. So we're going to explain to you on today's show three rules for using leveraged ETFs. And they are always, almost every single year, among the top performing and bottom performing funds, just because of the fact that they do use or attempt to magnify a daily performance. Now, just to give you a quick example of what I'm talking about, among the top performing ETFs this year, so far in 2015, 6 months into the year, you've got three particular ETFs I'm going to highlight to you that aim for triple daily performance to their underlying indexes. The first one is the Direction Daily Russia Bull 3X ETF. That's ticker symbol RUSL, which has gained 73% since the beginning of the year and is just sizzling. The other one is ticker symbol YINN, which is the Direction Daily FTSE China Bull ETF. That's 3X. In other words, it uses 300% daily leverage, up 52% since the beginning of the year. And then one final one, a top performer, is the Direction Daily Japan Bull 3X ETF, JPNL, which is ahead 51%. So those are among the top performing leveraged ETFs this year. But again, it's all about context. Where do these types of funds belong inside your portfolio if you're going to be using them? Well, you're going to find that out on today's show. Stay tuned for that. 844-305-7800 is the number. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. We're here every single week at this same hour. Follow us on Twitter at Index Show. If you have not had a chance to pick up my just published June ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, what are you waiting for? Oh man, it is just jam-packed with all types of investment strategy ideas. I've got in there a breakdown of the top performing equity funds globally and also other asset classes, including coverage on commodities like gold, currencies like the euro, bonds, as well as long short funds, In there, I also included our June monthly income trade. This is for the ETF Income Mix portfolio, which has existed since February of 2012 and has now generated over $32,000 of monthly income. Since its existence, this particular trade for June generated just over $700 of monthly income. Go to ETFguide.com and subscribe to the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter and follow some of those trades, as well as stay in touch with what the latest tactical trends are in the market, and mega trends too, by the way, aside from tactical, making tactical trades. But so again, ETFguide.com, click on the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. If you're just joining us, again, this is the Index Investing Show. Want to talk about this portfolio. This is for BB. This was sent to me. He's in his late 60s. He is living in Naples, Florida. He manages his own investment portfolio. And he told me he watches his money like a hawk. Now, it's a $1.23 million portfolio. It consists of a taxable brokerage account. It contains one hedge fund, one mutual fund, one individual stock, three ETFs, a managed portfolio of energy MLPs, also known as master limited partnerships, and some cash. So this is what BB owns. Now, that hedge fund that he owns, he's got the Citadel hedge fund, almost $300,000 in that particular fund. He's got the Harvest Fund Advisors, that MLP portfolio accounts for about $245,000 of his portfolio. He's got three ETFs, the Wisdom Tree Japan Hedged Equity, DXJ, got about $123,000 there, $128,000 in the Wisdom Tree European Hedged Equity ETF, HEDJ is the ticker on that. He's got the First Trust NYSE Arca Biotech ETF, FBT is the ticker on that. In that particular ETF, he's got about $121,000. And then he's got $250,000 invested in the PrimeCap Odyssey Growth, Aggressive Growth Mutual Fund, POAGX. That's a mid-cap growth fund. And he owns one individual stock, which is ticker symbol PTC. Got about $32,000 there. And he's got almost $50,000 in cash. When you add it all up, it comes out to $1,236,000 and change. And this is a taxable brokerage account. BB asked me to do a portfolio report card to identify the strengths and weaknesses of his portfolio. So does he get an A or does he flunk? Now remember, if he gets an A, two things are going to happen on today's show. Number one, I'm going to get out my wallet and pay him $100. And number two, I'm going to call on the portfolio report card marching band. They're going to get their tubas and trombones and French horns ready, and this is what they're going to play. Yes, that is the music that the portfolio report card marching band plays whenever we get an A on the show. And so we're going to find out if this portfolio, this $1.2 million portfolio, passes or fails. We'll look at the portfolio in five grading categories: cost, diversification, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. And then give BB a final report card grade of passing or failing. If you'd like to take my portfolio report card challenge, by the way, and see how your portfolio scores and grades, all you got to do is go to portfolioreportcard.com and get in touch with me. Take that initial step and take my challenge. If your portfolio gets an A, I'll pay you $100. Again, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I will analyze and grade your portfolio. I look at IRAs, whether that's Roth or traditional, doesn't really matter. I grade 401k plans, I grade family trust accounts, I grade taxable brokerage accounts, joint accounts, you name it, I can grade it. I've already analyzed and graded more than $100 million worth of portfolios, so yours is next. Again, go to portfolioreportcard.com. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show, and I'll be right back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
So we're going to analyze a portfolio for BB in Naples, Florida. He's in his late 60s. He's a retiree. And he's got a $1.2 million portfolio. It's in a taxable brokerage account. And he owns one hedge fund, one mutual fund, one individual stock, three ETFs, a portfolio of energy MLPs, also known as master limited partnerships, and then he's got a little bit of cash. So BB came to me at portfolioreportcard.com and requested, he wants to know the strengths and the weaknesses of his investment portfolio. And so we're going to analyze and grade it on today's show. He will get an A, B, C, D, or F. Of course, A is the best you could do. F is the worst. And if he gets an A, I pay him $100. So let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. Now, it's important that all of our listeners understand, and I want to be as explicit and clear as I possibly can, that investing is not a cost-free activity. And your net performance is directly tied to how well or how poorly you contain the cost of your investment portfolio. If you do poorly at containing the cost of your investment portfolio, guess what's going to happen to your net performance? It will suffer. Sadly, most people are so distracted, so busy, so preoccupied, that minimizing trading activity, minimizing fund expenses, and reducing other completely unnecessary fees and costs is not a priority. They're so busy and distracted doing nothing that maintaining or rather containing investment costs is not a priority. And so this is why these types of portfolios that have elevated expenses, because the owners aren't aware that they're paying all these fees, this is why performance is subpar, is unacceptable, is unsatisfactory. BB's portfolio, as I just told you, owns one hedge fund, separately managed account. Now, if I just looked, if we just look at his mutual fund and ETF holdings, his asset-weighted expenses are just over 0.5%, while the separately managed account that contains MLPs charges around 1%. And the cost of this portfolio is 65% more expensive compared to my ETF benchmark that has a similar asset mix. Put another way, BB has way too much fat in his portfolio. He's got some cutting to do. Put this portfolio on the treadmill. It's got to lose some weight. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you want to join us, 844-305-7800. We just looked at cost. That's the first grading category for BB's portfolio. Let's look at the next grading category, which is diversification. Now, the hallmark of a genuinely diversified investment portfolio is broad market exposure to the five major asset classes. What are the five major asset classes? Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Write it down in stone and don't forget it. If your portfolio does not have exposure in a broad sense to the five major asset classes that I just named to you, then by definition, your portfolio is not genuinely or authentically diversified. So now the question is, how does BB's portfolio do? Well, this $1.2 million portfolio, I'm pleased to say, does have exposure to U.S. and international stocks. He's also got some exposure to cash. That's a major asset class. And he's got exposure to energy MLPs, which is in the commodities area, but it is a a sector within the commodities area. Energy is one sector of commodities. There are many other sectors, like, for example, precious metals, industrial metals, agricultural commodities, etc., so forth and onward. Now, the portfolio, unfortunately, that BB has assembled lacks broad diversification, because you'll notice that the stocks and the funds that he owns, like the First Trust NYSE Arca Biotech ETF, ticker symbol FBT, are sector focused. In other words, they're concentrated in just one very narrow segment of the stock market versus a broad or diversified approach that touches the market across all sectors, as well as all stocks of all sizes, large, mid, and small. Likewise, the other funds that he owns, like that WisdomTree Japan Hedged Equity Fund, ticker symbol DXJ, and he also owns a European Hedged Equity Fund, HEDJ, these types of funds are engaging in tactical strategies that are concentrating exposure in a certain segment of the stock market. Again, this same thing he does with the Prime Cap Odyssey Growth Aggressive Growth Fund, POAGX, which only owns a very narrow segment of the stock market. In this case, mid-cap growth stocks. So BB is going about building his portfolio using very narrowly focused types of funds. He also does this again with those energy MLPs, which only cover one narrow segment or sector of the entire commodities market. So he does come up short on diversification. He is deficient because this portfolio is highly concentrated. Plus, it lacks broad exposure to three major asset classes. Actually stocks included. We could say four: real estate, commodities, stocks, and bonds. So he's got some major improvements to make in terms of diversification. And I'm really concerned, particularly about how BB's built the foundation of his core portfolio using non-core assets like hedge funds, non-core assets like tactically niche funds that are hedged, also sector funds, which only invest in a very narrow segment of the market. These are what he's using for the core, the foundation of his portfolio. He has taken these types of non-core assets and substituted them in the place of broadly diversified core assets. And that's comparable to building a home on shaky ground. Not a very wise thing to do. And we're going to talk more a little bit later about this idea of the non-core assets, because also coming up on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about my three rules for using leveraged ETFs. Leveraged ETFs, if we really want to think about this, are non-core assets that belong in the non-core portion of your portfolio. They do not belong in the core or foundation of your portfolio. Remember, the core always owns broadly diversified funds touching the five major asset classes. That's your core. That's where the bulk of your money and your net worth is invested. The non-core, which is smaller and complementary to your core, is your tactical money. That's your money where you can afford to invest in leveraged funds, where you can afford to invest in narrow funds like sector funds. You can invest in things like private equity and venture capital and hedge funds and derivatives and collectibles and currencies and long-short strategies. That's all non-core type of money that belongs in the non-core part of your portfolio. So what I'm really talking about is having better organization inside your portfolio. Certainly BB's got some improvements to make. We're going to look at a couple of other areas. Three last grading categories coming up next: risk, taxes, and performance. And we'll see how BB does for this $1.2 million portfolio. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. More coming up when I return. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
So we're going to analyze a portfolio for BB in Naples, Florida. He's in his late 60s. He's a retiree. And he's got a $1.2 million portfolio. It's in a taxable brokerage account. And he owns one hedge fund, one mutual fund, one individual stock, three ETFs, a portfolio of energy MLPs, also known as master limited partnerships, and then he's got a little bit of cash. So BB came to me at portfolioreportcard.com and requested, he wants to know the strengths and the weaknesses of his investment portfolio. And so we're going to analyze and grade it on today's show. He will get an A, B, C, D, or F. Of course, A is the best you could do. F is the worst. And if he gets an A, I pay him $100. So let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. Now, it's important that all of our listeners understand, and I want to be as explicit and clear as I possibly can, that investing is not a cost-free activity. And your net performance is directly tied to how well or how poorly you contain the cost of your investment portfolio. If you do poorly at containing the cost of your investment portfolio, guess what's going to happen to your net performance? It will suffer. Sadly, most people are so distracted, so busy, so preoccupied, that minimizing trading activity, minimizing fund expenses, and reducing other completely unnecessary fees and costs is not a priority. They're so busy and distracted doing nothing that maintaining or rather containing investment costs is not a priority. And so this is why these types of portfolios that have elevated expenses, because the owners aren't aware that they're paying all these fees, this is why performance is subpar, is unacceptable, is unsatisfactory. BB's portfolio, as I just told you, owns one hedge fund, separately managed account. Now, if we just look at his mutual fund and ETF holdings, his asset-weighted expenses are just over 0.5%, while the separately managed account that contains MLPs charges around 1%. And the cost of this portfolio is 65% more expensive compared to my ETF benchmark that has a similar asset mix. Put another way, BB has way too much fat in his portfolio. He's got some cutting to do. Put this portfolio on the treadmill. It's got to lose some weight. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. At Index Show is my Twitter handle. If you want to join us, 844-305-7800. We just looked at cost. That's the first grading category for BB's portfolio. Let's look at the next grading category, which is diversification. Now, the hallmark of a genuinely diversified investment portfolio is broad market exposure to the five major asset classes. What are the five major asset classes? Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Write it down in stone and don't forget it. If your portfolio does not have exposure in a broad sense to the five major asset classes that I just named to you, then by definition, your portfolio is not genuinely or authentically diversified. So now the question is, how does BB's portfolio do? Well, this $1.2 million portfolio, I'm pleased to say, does have exposure to U.S. and international stocks. He's also got some exposure to cash. That's a major asset class. And he's got exposure to energy MLPs, which is in the commodities area, but it is a sector within the commodities area. Energy is one sector of commodities. There are many other sectors, like, for example, precious metals, industrial metals, agricultural commodities, etc., so forth and onward. Now, the portfolio, unfortunately, that BB has assembled lacks broad diversification, because you'll notice that the stocks and the funds that he owns, like the First Trust NYSE Arca Biotech ETF, ticker symbol FBT, are sector focused. In other words, they're concentrated in just one very narrow segment of the stock market versus a broad or diversified approach that touches the market across all sectors, as well as all stocks of all sizes, large, mid, and small. Likewise, the other funds that he owns, like that WisdomTree Japan Hedged Equity Fund, ticker symbol DXJ, and he also owns a European Hedged Equity Fund, HEDJ. These types of funds are engaging in tactical strategies that are concentrating exposure in a certain segment of the stock market. Again, this same thing he does with the Prime Cap Odyssey Growth Aggressive Growth Fund, POAGX, which only owns a very narrow segment of the stock market. In this case, mid-cap growth stocks. So BB is going about building his portfolio using very narrowly focused types of funds. He also does this again with those energy MLPs, which only cover one narrow segment or sector of the entire commodities market. So he does come up short on diversification. He is deficient because this portfolio is highly concentrated. Plus, it lacks broad exposure to three major asset classes. Actually, stocks included. We could say four. Real estate, commodities, stocks, and bonds. So he's got some major improvements to make in terms of diversification. And I'm really concerned, particularly about how BB's built the foundation of his core portfolio using non-core assets like hedge funds. Non-core assets like tactically niche funds that are hedged. Also sector funds, which only invest in a very narrow segment of the market. These are what he's using for the core, the foundation of his portfolio. He has taken these types of non-core assets and substituted them in the place of broadly diversified core assets. And that's comparable to building a home on shaky ground. Not a very wise thing to do. And we're going to talk more a little bit later about this idea of the non-core assets, because also coming up on today's show, I'm going to talk a little bit about my three rules for using leveraged ETFs. Leveraged ETFs, if we really want to think about this, are non-core assets that belong in the non-core portion of your portfolio. They do not belong in the core or foundation of your portfolio. Remember, the core always owns broadly diversified funds touching the five major asset classes. That's your core. That's where the bulk of your money and your net worth is invested. The non-core, which is smaller and complementary to your core, is your tactical money. That's your money where you can afford to invest in leveraged funds, where you can afford to invest in narrow funds like sector funds. You can invest in things like private equity and venture capital and hedge funds and derivatives and collectibles and currencies and long short strategies. That's all non-core type of money that belongs in the non-core part of your portfolio. So what I'm really talking about is having better organization inside your portfolio. Certainly BB's got some improvements to make. We're going to look at a couple of other areas. Three last grading categories coming up next: risk, taxes, and performance. And we'll see how BB does for this $1.2 million portfolio. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. More coming up when I return. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is the ninth inning of today's show, and as you've been hearing, we're doing a report card for BB in Naples, Florida. He's in his late 60s. He is retired and enjoying the nice weather down there in beautiful Naples. I'm sure that these next couple months will be hot, but man, is it a great place to be during the winter. Lots of great golfing down there. I'm not much of a golfer myself, more of a tennis player, but nevertheless, a good place to be in terms of living the high life and being retired away from all that cold weather and that snow. And so BB manages his own portfolio. He's got just over $1.2 million, and it's a taxable brokerage account, and he doesn't have really many holdings. Really, altogether, he's got less than 10 holdings in his portfolio. He's got one individual stock. He's got one mutual fund. He's got three ETFs, one hedge fund, and then one managed MLP account. And so it's rather, I mean, in terms of the number of holdings he's got, it's a pretty simply designed portfolio. But as we covered earlier, his diversification isn't very good. The cost of the portfolio can be a lot lower. By my estimate, he's paying 65% more than he should be in terms of investment expenses. And guess what happens to your performance when your fees are that high? At some point in the future, it comes back to bite you. It's like playing with fire. Just because you didn't get burned today, and you keep playing with fire, eventually, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get burned. So that's how it is with high investment costs or elevated investment costs. It may not hurt you this year. It may not hurt you in a good market. But eventually, over time, it will undermine your money. I can guarantee that. In terms of risk, his portfolio has 76% exposure to bonds. I'm sorry, 76% exposure to stocks. He owns no bonds. He's got 20% energy MLP exposure and then 4% in cash. So in terms of risk, he is very, very elevated in terms of exposure to equities. And I estimate this particular portfolio in a market that declines 20 to 40% will suffer huge, huge losses, somewhere in the vicinity of $200,000 up to $375,000. Now, in terms of tax efficiency, and this is our next grading category, smartly designed investment portfolios are always aggressive at reducing the threat of taxes. Now, I know our mothers and fathers all taught us not to be greedy. If there's one aspect of life where you can be greedy, it's with minimizing investment cost. You can be greedy with that, and also with minimizing or cutting the threat of taxes legally. You could be greedy with that. Now, how do you do that? How do you have a tax-efficient portfolio? Well, number one, by owning tax-efficient investment vehicles, making that the bulk of your portfolio. Index funds and ETFs fit the bill. The other part of this is using smart asset location strategies. So BB told me he's been using tax losses that have been carried over from previous years to offset his current portfolio's tax liabilities. And this is good. It's nice to see that he's using some of those losses to offset any gains and dividends he receives at this point. The problem is that BB's portfolio can still be much better. And I'm just going to give you one example. His energy MLPs, for example, are not what we would call a tax-efficient asset class, yet he's holding them in a taxable investment account. He could definitely be helped by having some smarter asset location. In terms of performance, and this is the final grading category, let it be known that your portfolio's performance is indeed the bottom line, but it's never the only line. Why do I say that? Well, that's because your performance return, good or bad, is directly impacted by your portfolio's cost, by your portfolio's risk, by your portfolio's diversification, and by your portfolio's taxes. So the question is, how does BB's portfolio do? How did he perform? Well, this portfolio over the past year gained $27,000, and he took out $60,000 of income. His 1 year performance gain, when I adjusted for that withdrawal, was just over 7% versus a gain of almost 4% for the index benchmark matching his same asset mix. Investment performance should match or exceed the benchmark, and in this case, BB's 1 year performance is satisfactory. He beat the benchmark. Pretty good job. He beat it by around 3%. Pretty stellar. BB's final report card grade is a C, which is a weak, signals that this portfolio has a weak structure and has some significant flaws. Although BB's 1 year performance return was satisfactory, I mean, he beat the benchmark by 3%, his performance is largely attributable to lots of luck, along with a cooperative stock market versus financial acumen. There is a difference. I know it's shocking, but there is a difference. And I know it's sometimes hard to decipher a difference between financial acumen along with luck, because in a good market climate like we have right now, fools are mistaken as financial wizards. Now, I'm not saying BB's a fool, but I am saying he has benefited from a cooperative stock market. But more importantly, I think it's highly doubtful that his equity-heavy portfolio would deliver satisfactory performance in a different market climate. I can assure you that. BB's portfolio scored poorly at minimizing cost. He did poorly at maximizing diversification. And he also, his portfolio's risk profile is not age appropriate. He's got 76% exposure to stocks, 20% energy MLPs. He's in his late 60s. It's not age appropriate. I'm sorry. And I'm especially concerned with the fact that BB has built the foundation of his portfolio, his core portfolio, using non-core assets like hedge funds and sector funds and tactically niche equity funds. That's a problem. When you take non-core assets and use them as cores, that's a problem. You can't do that and expect to have an architecturally sound investment portfolio. In summary, if BB fixes the weaknesses within his portfolio, satisfactory performance returns should become a regular thing versus a one-year anomaly, and he got a C, and hopefully when he comes back to us, he'll get a better grade in the future. If you'd like to take my Portfolio Report Card Challenge, go to PortfolioReportCard.com and see how you score. Now, back to talking about rules for leveraged ETFs. I already gave you earlier the first rule, which is don't trade too many markets. Now I want to give you two final rules for using leveraged ETFs. Number one, leveraged ETFs are non-core investments, meaning they belong in the non-core part of your portfolio if you're going to use them, and they're not long-term investments, so don't use them that way. They're generally short-term trades that last anywhere from one day up to several weeks. So remember that anytime you're buying a leveraged ETF whether that's 2x or 3x, in other words, 200% or 300% daily leverage, if you're buying that fund as a long-term investment and holding it for months or even years, you're using the tool the wrong way. It's like using a screwdriver to do a hammer's job. It's completely illogical to be using leverage ETFs in that manner. And then the third and final rule is stick with sharp trending markets. Big performance gains with leveraged ETFs can be had in sharply trending markets. And I already gave you examples of that with Russian stocks, Chinese stocks, and Japanese stocks all soaring. Great time to be in leveraged long or bullish funds, because these types of funds are just blossoming in this type of environment. RUSL up 73%, YINN up 52%, JPNL up 51%. So sharply trending markets like we have with Japanese, Chinese, and Russian markets are where leverage ETFs tend to perform best. Well, that just about does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to take my challenge. If you'd like to get my latest ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, it's available. The June issue's out. Just go to ETFGuide.com. That does it again for another show. Be sure to join us again next week. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.